Hey everybody, we are out here doing another episode of Trail Talk. This time we're out here with Andy DeSoto of Triple S Polaris. We are riding in a new expedition, which is something I've never done before, but we're gonna go check this out, talk about the car, talk about their dealership, and as always, you know, how UTV drivers and Jeep drivers can get along. Same thing as always, we're recording audio on trail as we drive, so if you hear stuff that sounds like we're on trail, it's because we are. What's different this time is you can also follow along with OnX. We will post the map from this episode and you can see exactly where we drove to record this. So anyways, Andy, thanks for coming out, man. Thanks for having Triple S Polaris let us take this out and show me how this works. As someone coming from a bigger sport machine, this is kind of a fun little car. I've liked it so far, for sure.
Yeah, thanks for having us out. I'm glad you're experiencing the expedition in the right way. So
we'll
definitely get to do some cool rock crawling, and you get to experience the comforts of having a heater right now that the temperatures are pretty low. So yeah, I'm excited. Thanks for having us out.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we get into all that, can you just give us a little bit of your background, how you got into off-roading? I know you said we're gonna go do some rock crawling, but if I remember right, you said rock crawling is not really your jam, or at least not how you started.
Yeah, I don't hate it, but it's just not where I like to have fun. Okay. I like fast trail riding in the desert, but like I said, you know, I like to come out and hang out with the guys and do a little rock crawling every once in a while. I just don't like the fact that you're always feeling like you're gonna tip over. And then you got to have sometimes someone, you know, guiding you, and it's a little slow for me.
Yeah.
Not that the guys at rock crawl are slow per se, but I get bored real easy. I like to keep things moving. So yeah, I do come from a motorsports background. Yeah. I did a lot of car racing, mostly time trial stuff.
Okay.
A lot of racetracks back in California, like Buttonwillow, Willow Springs, California Speedway.
Fast stuff, real fast stuff.
Yeah, a lot of, I've never done like wheel-to-wheel racing, but it was always, you're racing against your own time, so.
Yeah,
well, it's real challenging at the same time.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you got into that. How did you make a transition into like the UTV side of things? How did you, what drew you into that? Was it just, hey, I can go fast off-road too?
So I grew up riding dirt bikes. That was kind of like our family tradition, going out with the family and doing a lot of trail riding and stuff.
Right.
And my family all have Razors, and I never really bought into it until Honda came out with the Talon.
Okay.
I grew up driving, I don't know if you remember the old the Honda Odyssey. Honda came out with the Pioneer. Not the Pioneer, the Pilot. Honda came out with the Pilot. It was a 350. Yeah, no, not the car.
Okay.
They had it like a UTV. It was a single seater. It had a 350cc two stroke engine.
Okay, I vaguely remember it. It's kind of making a resurgence right now as side by side popularity comes up. I feel like I've seen videos of people being like, "This was the OG thing."
Yeah,
is that kind of what we're talking about? Like ATC days?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was a. It was a single seater. It was powered by a 350cc two stroke engine.
Okay.
And compared to what we have now, I mean, the travel and the suspension back then was phenomenal. But nowadays, oh my gosh, you need a kidney belt to ride one of those out here for sure. You know?
Yeah. So did you have one of those, or you liked them, that your family had them?
So my uncle bought one and I fell in love with it. I drove it for the first time actually in Baja. We went to San Felipe and I was out there just tearing it up. And man, I just felt like, you know how when you get in a car, like you feel one, like mated to the machine?
Yeah.
Like I felt almost like an Iron Man suit.
Okay.
Like I felt like it just gave me like superpowers. I was just out there ripping in the, right on the water, you know, on the, they call it the Sea of Cortez over there in Mexico. And oh my gosh, that's one of the highlights of my childhood for sure.
That's awesome.
So that's kind of where it got into my blood. And living out here, I got the talent. I got heavily involved with a company called Craftworks Off-Road.
Okay.
You might have seen them. They made the supercharger for the Pro R.
Yeah.
So I helped launch the turbo kit for the Talon. Okay. Did marketing for them. And then I also helped launch the supercharger for the Pro R.
Okay. So you took the Talon, which is, you know, no offense to Talon people, slightly underpowered. You know, the Africa Twin is awesome, but, you know, let's give it a little bit of juice. That's pretty cool to be involved with that. So were you involved just from a marketing perspective, or how, what was your involvement like with that?
So I did, I had the first kit that they made. They put it on my car. I did a lot of testing out here. And yeah, just helped market it to the masses. And I got involved with the Honda Factory Off-Road team. Did a lot of chasing with them in Mexico. I did a little co-piloting for them for the Baja 500 and the Vegas to Reno race.
Okay.
And then I got involved with the Polaris dealer out here in Cedar, so.
Yeah, and that's Triple S, who has been kind enough to let us take their demo machine out.
Yeah.
Go try and go tackle back a little the bit. Funnel right now. Yeah, you can go back a little bit. Yep. For those just listening, we are coming up on the funnel right now, which is,
so this is what I'm telling you, like, I just hate how I can't see behind me. It's just so nerve-wracking,
even with all the nice cameras and stuff in here.
Yeah, I just can't seem to get comfortable, but anyway.
Yeah, well, that's really cool. And how long have you been with Triple S?
I've been with them for 2 years.
Okay. And they, no issues there? You know, you don't wish it was a Honda dealership because you're your heritage?
I don't, man. And to be honest with you, I learned to love these machines just as much as I love the Honda platform. And it's because these things are just, they're so nice. Like the finishes, I feel like honestly, at the end of the day, Polaris is probably 10 years, 15 years ahead of the UTV game than a lot of these Japanese manufacturers.
Well, that's, I mean, they are the original, they keep pushing stuff. But I'm happy to see that there is a lot of competition, because for me, it's all about being off-road, not about being off-road in a specific vehicle, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm stoked to see everybody coming in. I'm stoked to see Segway making an entrance. I'm stoked to see CF Moto. I like seeing, you know, where everybody takes things and goes, we're going to want to go up here to this right.
Go this way? Okay.
Or far left there, whatever you want.
Far left. See what we can do here. Yeah, I agree with you. I think so. One of Honda's quotes is racing improves the breed, and I feel like the more manufacturers you have setting the bar higher and higher, just the better these machines are going to get. You know, you got to have that competition factor in it for sure.
Well, I think that's a big part of, I mean, if you look at even the Polaris platforms over the last, I don't know, say 10 years, they kind of went to that XP1000 style chassis, and then it kind of, you know, stood there for a minute, you know, from the 14 to 19. And then I feel like, okay, then we had this influx of UTVs going in and out and running like KOH, running these bigger races. I think you're going to go up right here. This is probably the easiest spot.
Position myself a little better.
But you get those bigger races happening, and like people start to really think like, okay, UTVs are a thing we should be paying attention to. And then you get the pro platform, which is for me, you know, Pro XP, Turbo R, Pro S, and the Pro R. All of them are kind of built on the same platform. And I don't think that those, you know, like I said, that's just a testament to the competition that pushed it to that point.
Yeah.
Which those, all of those cars are amazing. And then on the other hand, you have something like this, which is obviously not as sporty, not as performance oriented, but this is definitely more comfortable to ride in. I'll tell you that for sure.
And it's so capable too. I mean, it's just, it might, you know, not do everything as fast as some of these sport models, but it still gets the job done, and it does it really well.
Yeah. You're not going to go huck this off a dune, you know, 40 feet. But if you're just trying to go out and have a picnic, or, you know, like, I say that and it sounds like it's a, if you're just going to go lollygag and have a picnic, but it's not. But if you're just going out and like hitting a trail and you're not like, oh, I want to go hit a dune, or I want to go do 90 miles an hour across the desert, or, you know, chuck it 300 feet down this dune. These are freaking awesome. And like I said, we've been in them. I mean, it was smoother than smooth coming across the front edge road over here. I like the styling on the inside. I like the HVAC system. You can tell they kind of based it on the Super Duties with these little vents here.
The little vents, yeah.
Yeah, they look almost identical, like a Fisher-Price version of a Super Duty.
Oh my gosh, I can't see anything. The sun's blaring.
You're good to go straight. But we should actually go to the right here.
To the right a little bit?
Yeah, we're off the trail. You can see the black parts over here. We're on West
Rim. Should I go up this?
You can. Just go up over, straight up over the top there. There's a drop-off on the left.
The left there.
But you should be able to go straight. Anyways, we were coming across that frontage road. And like you were explaining to me earlier, these have some sort of specific valving. Is that right? In the shocks that kind of helps with plushness in that plus or minus 2 or 3 inches range?
Yeah, so what Polaris did is they made the... It's a QS3 with spiral bore technology.
Okay.
So what they did is inside the shock body, they did a spiral machining.
Okay.
So it gets rid of all the nasty chop that translates into the cab when you're going over all that really rigid stuff.
Yep.
And it makes all the difference. I hope that trickles into some of these other machines, because it really does make a big difference.
It does. On that, the smaller chop, the washboard stuff, it's a very smooth machine. Like I think I mentioned before, you know, you can feel the wheelbase. You can feel that we're...
How are we doing here? I can't see anything.
I think you ought to go left a little bit here. Okay.
I just can't see nothing, dude. It's
good. Now I come back this way.
Face. Go to the right.
Yep. You're just going to try and catch the farmost edge. I'd go right. There's a hole in front of you. Okay. You might. So where we're at, there's a V in this trail that comes in about right here, and you got your front tire on it. You might need to back up and come right a little bit. But this shelf here, you're going to want to take as far left as you can without going in the hole over there. So I crank it right there and go up. As soon as that front wheel pops up, take it to the passenger side. And
how do you even see that? You just know this trail so well, huh?
I've been on it a few times. So
there's the hole there, yeah.
Yep. Well, I'm glad I called it out, because that one might put us in there. But yeah, to carry on with these things are a little bit expensive, to be honest. Like, you can get into the JK pricing, but I don't think you could be as comfortable from a suspension standpoint in a Jeep. Maybe you could get that in a Bronco, I don't know. But even though they are a little pricey, like I say, just the washboard stuff, it just handled so well. I'm actually really impressed with it. I don't know what else to say. I mean, is there anything else? I guess another thing to bring up on this is, you know, again, you don't need a big turbo car. You don't need a big 74-inch wide machine. This will go places legally more than a wider car will, due to obviously trail width restrictions. This is, like you said, 64 inches wide.
Correct.
My Turbo R is 74. There's trails I just can't do due to regulation. And I think you got to come my way. Let's just follow this little ridge.
There it
up
is.
Here.
Yeah.
Yep. I think I told you last time we were out. Like, I don't know if I'm going to tell my wife to ride in one of these, because I feel like I'm going to get persuaded into it.
Yeah, this is definitely popular in the wife for the wives. So
for sure.
You know, the biggest thing for them is, I think, just being warm and not getting dusted. So this kind of checks
warm,
those boxes off.
Also being cool.
We live
in Sand Hollow. 100 and whatever, 15 degrees in the summer. Keep the AC on. I want to ask you a little bit more about your dealership, because kind of the purpose of a lot of these conversations I have is around the perceived animosity between Jeep owners and side-by-side owners. And I think that from the Jeep side of things, they see a lot of people come in and like, I can just buy this car. I don't have to put the effort into building it. I don't have to, you know, it feels like a cheat code, and it is. It is totally a cheat code. These are significantly more capable than a Jeep is, just off the showroom floor. My question to you is, you know, how many inexperienced people, how many newer people do you see come in and purchase these side-by-sides? Because I think the perception is that, oh, there's this giant influx of people, everybody and their cat has just gone out and bought one, and they just all are coming out and ruining our trails. Do you see that kind of reflected in the purchase amounts or, you know, repeat customer type percentages that you see at the dealership?
I don't know if I have an actual number, but we definitely have a lot of new customers that are new to this off-road world and the sport. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of our customer base is repeat and referrals. We do a really good job just with customer service, and that's our goal. We want to create a really good experience. We understand that this is a luxury item for mostly everyone, and we want to educate them as much as we can when it comes to trail riding and how, you know, definitely show them what not to do. I think for that sure. goes a long way.
Yeah.
But I want to say, like, I don't think I've ever looked any type of course up for somebody that's just getting into it. And that's definitely a topic that us seasoned guys, we got to really take a hold of it and see if we can get more education out there. Because a lot of these people that are coming out that are wanting to get into the sport, like, they might not know, or they might not know where to go, you know? So.
Well, and they can drive down the street and you can, like, see, you know, in my head, I'm like, oh, I want to go off-road. I can buy a Razor. I can just pop into XYZ dealership. I can sign a couple papers and I can walk away with, you know, a machine on paper that looks fantastic, you know, 205 horsepower or whatever the Pro R is, maybe 225, and I can just go out and bomb the hills. And that kind of mentality is a little bit dangerous. And I think you mentioned this to me before, but you said you've seen a lot of people come out and actually buy those bigger machines and then go, oh wait, I bought a Thoroughbred and I really don't need it.
Yeah, I think we try to educate people when they're coming in, and we ask a bunch of the key questions, like, what type of riding do you like doing? Have you ever gone out riding? Are you a sand person? Do you want a rock crawl? And we try to kind of steer them in that direction of something that's going to be more of a, we could try to tailor what, you know, what they want to do.
Right.
So when you first walk in, everybody wants the biggest and the baddest machine that we got. And a lot of the times, you know, these guys are entry level. They're going to have, you know, they start talking to you about, you know, I always have my kids with me. I want to let them drive it. I don't know if you want to put your kids in a Pro R that don't have experience. And you know, maybe the parents don't have experience either. And they want to get something cool for their kids. And maybe that's not always the best case, is getting something that's for a more seasoned person. Not that you can't drive it slow, but it might be more car than what they really need.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and it's like you coming from a motorsports background, a lot of people, let me step back and say, I would never tell somebody what you should or shouldn't buy.
Correct.
But I will say, the fast people that I have met at autocross and doing fast motorsports things, just from an autocross perspective or from like a time attack perspective, a Miata is a place where you start to develop the skills to be able to drive a Corvette. Does that make sense?
I totally agree with what you're saying.
Yeah. And so I think it's interesting that you've had people come in and say, you know, I do want this big bad machine. I want to put my kids in. I want my kid to be able to drive it. And in my mind, I go, oh man, I hope you have a lot of open space.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. It's hard. You can drive them slow, but the temptation to just, you know, push the pedal a little further.
Yeah.
is just so tempting.
Well, a lot of times too, I mean, these things, you look at them and the first thing they see is these big, you know, springs and these big shocks, and they're just thinking about how much air they can get, and they want to record it for the gram and all this stuff. And oh my God, we've all seen those videos on YouTube and social media, right? Where they just end up yard selling this thing.
Yeah. And I think that that's one aspect that the UTV world doesn't really have that the Jeep world does, is that most guys, I think, that start in Jeeps are starting in something that, like, I have an XJ, or I bought my first car as an XJ, or, you know, a Grand Cherokee, something like that, where they can't just come in and be like, I'm going to full yard sale this because I got to drive it home.
Yeah.
And they have to interact with the other people in the Jeep community that are, you know, sort of guiding them in a better direction. I don't know that we have anything like that. I think you talked about, you guys have some courses that maybe don't qualify for that, like off-road etiquette, off-road driving course. But you did mention, like, you have some stuff of like, hey, this is how we do maintenance. This is how you take care of the XYZ. This is how you clean a belt. And those kinds of things, while not directly teaching how to do trail etiquette, like, that's a good entryway for people to meet up with maybe people who are more experienced. And maybe you should tell about, you have like a bi-monthly event at Triple S, right? Where you come out and learn maintenance. You get paired up with experienced techs that know what they're doing. Can you speak to that a little bit more? Because I think that is important. You know, coming out, even just rubbing shoulders on how to not screw this machine up, is going to expose you to more people that might be willing to teach you the trail etiquette side of things. So, yeah, if you want to talk about that a little bit, that would be awesome.
Yeah, so we try to be really proactive with existing and new customers, and we do classes at our dealership. We're actually going to start something new here pretty soon where we're going to actually have them inside of our shop.
Okay.
That way we can get customers in there and kind of get a sense of what they're getting when they're dropping their machine off for like a multi-point inspection, and you know what it takes to do a belt and a clutch, and we're going to be doing them. We've had them like every 90 days, but we're going to try to do them like more often.
Okay.
So that, yeah, if you guys follow us on social media, we always post on there when we're having the classes, and we put on an email blast for our existing customers too, and we have a good turnout, believe it or not. Like, I think our last belt class, we had like almost 20 people, and it was almost like a last minute thing because we wanted to get it in before the year was over. It was a week ago.
Yeah.
And we just have and the feedback we get back too, it's like they see how much is involved in, and they see our highly qualified mechanics, and they're more comfortable with paying, you know, the high labor rates that the UTV market has. Sometimes that's usually a thing where we get questioned, you know, like, why is your labor rate so high? And it's just like, these are high performance machines.
Yeah, you're dealing with a race car, essentially. It's a mass-produced race car, but
yeah,
it is a race car.
Yeah, and there's a lot that goes in it, and you know, when the mechanic pulls it in there, and if it's just in there for an oil change, like, they do a really thorough visual inspection. They put their hands on a lot of parts that, you know, are known to, you know, get a little loose, or just typical stuff that they already know.
Yeah.
And you know, we advise them and just, hey, keep an eye out on this. And yeah, we just have really good seasoned mechanics that have been in the industry for a while, and we like to show the customer like what's involved in when they're dropping off their machine. So
yeah, I'm curious if you guys would be, so tell me what events you have. I know you guys have once a year, you have a driving event or a trail ride event up in Cedar City. You get to go explore a little bit different terrain than what we have down here. I, to some degree, think that driving up in the Cedars, up in the Duck Creek area, can actually be a little bit more dangerous with how flat and wide open the roads are. It can be really tempting to, you know, just like you say, you like Baja because it's just big, wide open bombing. But do you guys go through any sort of like trail etiquette, trail training, trail like this is what we're going to do? We're going to keep our speeds to this sort of thing when you guys put on those trail ride events?
We do. So we have a, it's called the Iron Off-Road Rally. It's coming up June 1st and 2nd. And we have a meeting before the ride, and it's guided, like I said. And yeah, we just kind of go over a little bit on, you know, where we're going to stop. And we usually have the car in the back. Right. We have the lead car, and then the car in the back, we put two of our technicians in the back in case anybody breaks down. And yeah, we just go over like kind of like the course, what to expect. That rally is so cool. A lot of people don't know that there's just as much cool terrain and open riding area out there that there is just like down here. And we have everything, like red rocks. We have you know, wide open spaces, kind of like the Duck Creek trails.
Yep.
So I would love to invite anybody that wants to come out and experience another side of Southern Utah to come out and check out these really cool trails that we have.
Yeah, that's all. It's entirely different from what we have down here, but it is I don't know. I feel like there are some guys that will just, you will never have them leave the Red Rocks, but that's fine. It's them. But I personally like to go see other cool stuff like that. Sort of circle back on what we were talking about with, you know, education and things like that. What do you think, or would you guys be interested in some sort of trail ride where, you know, you kind of know who's coming to your dealership and who's like, this is my first time here. They might not seem so educated. You can kind of know who a beginner UTV rider is. I'm trying to figure out a way to where we can get those people and say like, hey, you might not be educated on stuff like this, and pair them up with riders who are more experienced. And I know that like the Iron County Rally, stuff like that is good, but I'm curious if we could, you know, what are your thoughts around, I don't know, there's not a good way to do this. I guess this is all wishful thinking, but I'm wishing that there would be a way we could say like, I know you are new to this. You need to go ride with these three dudes for your first three rides. At least let them take you out and kind of show you what's up. And like I said, I think it's just wishful thinking. I don't have a good way to actually put that into motion. But what would your thoughts be around something like that? Of, you know, you see someone come out of the dealership, you know they're fresh and they're new, and you just say, hey, do you have someone to ride with? If not, you should hit up these people. They'll come out and, you know, ride with you.
I think that's a great idea. I think we should start maybe even doing a, you know, once a month type of class ride, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And invite these folks to come out here just so they can learn etiquette. Just one of the biggest things is being comfortable with what you're driving.
Right.
And a lot of these feelings that you feel when you're out here on this forever changing surfaces, when you feel them for the first time, like, you're not comfortable.
No,
so
not at all.
If we can get these folks out here to just kind of experience this with some seasoned people and let them know like, yeah, that's normal, this is how it feels, and get them comfortable and show them proper etiquette for when you're out on the trails, I think that'll be great. And we can always make adjustments as we go, you know.
Yeah.
We just have to start somewhere. So I am so for it.
Well, that's awesome. We can talk about doing something like that. I think it'd be good. Like I say, this whole thing has started from how can we bring the off-road community together better than what it is now. I feel like we've made some progress. I feel like, I don't know, it's kind of, you know, people are people. So individual people I've talked to, I feel like are really great. Others I've talked to, I feel like I'm like, nah. I don't know if you like me that much, but I'm here. But the goal for me is to get, you know, uneducated people educated Just to throw out some stats that if you're listening the first time you haven't heard, but if you're listening again, there was over 400,000 UTVs sold last year, 2024,
wow,
in the U.S. By comparison, and this number I'm a little more shaky on, but I believe there was only about 80,000 to 100,000 Jeeps. So, to me, that tells me we definitely have an influx of people on one side of this, and we need to find a way to make sure that those people do things correctly so that, you know, we have that broader base and broader user base to help protect our land access and to help bolster the off-road community rather than provide examples for people to tear it down.
Yeah, I agree totally with you. Those numbers are, man, that's huge. That's a big difference of, what did you say,
80 to 100,000 for Jeeps. And that doesn't qualify, that doesn't count for, you know, Broncos, Toyotas, other things.
Yeah.
It doesn't qualify for buggies. That, I don't know if there is any numbers on like rear-steer buggies, probably not. I think there's like maybe 100 of them sold a year, probably. But the easy access to UTVs has obviously proven that people want to be outdoors, people want to be doing this stuff. And while they might not have the capability or they might not have the know-how to just go build a Jeep, they could certainly get out here and do it in a UTV. And I think that's a really good door to open to people with the right education around it as well.
Yeah. We should do a series of YouTube videos too to, you know, we can always send those out. That'll be a good platform to get the word out and just kind of show people how we work out on these trails, you know, how everything runs and how to stay safe, you know, keep your kids safe. At the end of the day, you'd hate for this to be an investment that a family makes. And, you know, we've all heard, you know, horror stories. So,
yeah, you don't want to. I've seen the life flight up here too many times. Once is too many, but I have seen life flight on this mountain a lot, unfortunately. And I think that, like you were saying, that comes to education. We're coming through the toll booths right now, but is there anything else you wanted to touch on while we're out here? If you guys don't know or haven't picked up on it, go follow Triple S Polaris on Instagram for sure. Andy's the man behind the scenes there. So
yeah, I'd like for people to come out here and give us the opportunity to experience the customer service that we offer out there.
Yep.
And we all ride. Like, if you don't see us at the dealership when you go up there, we'll be out here on the trails and flag us down, stop us by. We'll love to talk to you and catch up. But we have such a unique group of individuals that work for us that love this sport and we love the growth. I know we've been touching a lot of, you know, some, I guess you can say it's negative, but we have to talk about it because it's an issue.
Yeah.
And we want to keep these trails open. We want to keep people safe. But yeah, come out and hang out with us. Come to Triple S. Our showroom's so cool. Like, we have inside, we try to build everything out to what you would want your machine to look like, mm-hmm, and show you all the different options and stuff. And yeah, the whole team up there is just phenomenal. We have such great technicians. It's family owned and operated. Just a really good family to be part of. And, you know, give us a shot. Come out and hang out with us and let us show you around the dealership.
Right on, man. Well, I appreciate you coming out and running these trails with me and showing me this expedition and, you know, possibly hurting my checkbook. But yeah. Anyways, it's been awesome to have you out here.
Anytime, man. Yeah, let's do it again soon.
Okay. Catch us on the next one, guys.